This is a previously recorded episode.
It says yes.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Computer says no.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
This is Billy Strutter, and you're listening to episode 7 of The Scoop. I am joined by Tom Lawrence, owner of Lawrence Technology Services and PC Pickup. Hi, Tom.
How are we doing?
I'm doing fabulous. And yourself?
Great.
Thanks for coming on today. And, of course, we're always joined by the fabulous Kate.
I'm just here to push buttons.
Just here to push buttons. Awesome. This week, we have another Urban Dictionary word of the day.
Are you going to use this one correctly this time?
I'm certainly going to try. This week, we're going with middle distance relationship.
Sounds like too much work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. But the definition of a middle distance relationship, or MDR, is when two people find themselves living with just enough distance between them that they can't see each other as often as they'd like. Shorter than the distance between Taylor Swift and Adele's vocal ranges, but longer than the time it takes to master the catchy lyrics to Tay-Tay's latest chart topper. I don't know. Do you guys need an example of how to use that?
Let's go with an example.
All right. Person one, how often do you see your BFF? Person two, like once a month tops. She lives all the way in Oakland. Ew, I hate crossing the bridge. Person two, I know, but I love her. She makes having a middle distance relationship totes worth. Get it?
Get it.
Perfect. All right. So what's going on in social media this week? Pinterest introduced a new promoted video. So as long as Pinterest has been running ads, you could promote the pins, but they didn't really have video. And so that's a new feature that they've rolled out. And I imagine that if you're trying to reach women, then that's a good platform for it because, you know, with Pinterest, it's a platform primarily,
yeah,
the users are primarily women. But do you use Pinterest?
You know, for my business, I've tried it a little bit. It really doesn't work. My wife likes it, you know, playing the statistic here. I haven't really found much of a catch. There are collections of PC information and pictures. People love to show off their workstations and all the fancy stuff on Pinterest. So there is kind of a weird little niche of IT guys on Pinterest, but it's pretty small.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to video like every other person is because – well, video's where it's at.
Right. Video seems to be the hot thing for social
media. Read?
Right. Why would I want to read when I can just watch it?
Just press play.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when Pinterest first rolled out, I, you know, as someone that does social media for a living, I hung out on it. And, you know, like I found it fascinating, really cool that I could pin like classic cars. I could say, oh, you know, that's a really cool suit. I might want to buy that someday. But
yeah.
I mean, what I'm seeing now is it's a lot of recipes and like this is the life I would love to live if I had all the money in the world.
Yeah. You can find so many luxury items and fashion items. It's got such a weird niche of those things that you see really blow up. Like you said, there's a lot of recipes on there. And I was even noticing I bought a new cooker or a new grill and is like
we can still call it cooker.
Yeah, right. Well, it's one of those Kobatu, the Japanese ones, you know,
like
the fancy grill. One. So as soon as I started to, you know, you add that to it, instantly it's Pinterest because it's a higher value ticket item, big ticket, so the big recipes are on there. So even just looking how to cook things on your Kobatu grill, it right away comes up with all these Pinterest links are ranking a lot higher in Google.
I'm curious if people actually buy anything based on what they see on Pinterest. You know, when we run ads, you know, one of the things we don't see a lot of click through from the ads that we're running on Pinterest. So I'm just curious that, you know, do people actually see something on there and then eventually go to the website, make a purchase, or is it sort of a long play?
I think it's more of the long play. And for example, even each recipe I clicked on, which I think the first two recipes I had done landed me because there were some vegetarian things that I was cooking. So that seemed to lend itself to Pinterest for whatever reason. And it brought me to the website, but it only gave me the first few lines of it because the person had done their social media work really well. So then I had to go through Pinterest and then click the Pinterest to actually land on our website. So it is kind of that double landing page, but that was kind of annoying to me. So I'd rather go directly to the information. But yeah, they only had posted half the recipe on their Pinterest. Right. And you had to click through to get to their website.
Right, because they want the views on their actual website, right?
Yeah. So, which, of course, then they have one of those wonderful pop-up ads and a sign up for our wonderful monthly blah, blah, blah.
So. Oh, don't we love those?
Those are the worst.
What, the pop-ups?
Yeah, like the ones that take you to a different site and they're like, oh, you have to click through 25 pages to read the whole story, or pop-up ads, or you pop up and it's just like, it's just so overwhelming with ads and you have to scroll down to find what you're actually looking for. It's, no. Yeah. Well, I avoid those like the plague.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like a minefield though, because you never know when you're going to go to a site that's going to completely just bogart you with a bunch of ads. And probably bogart's the wrong word, but anyhow, we're just going to go with it.
Yeah, but I've had a few people tell me, like, when they've looked at my site, going, oh, you need to do this on your blog because you have all these popular hits. And I'm like, no, I will never bug people for signups. If they want, they will read my information.
Right.
They will message me if they want something, but I will not force them to click through a stupid, you know, ad thing and the sign up and the shadow box pop out in front. That just annoys the
crap
out of
everyone. Doesn't it kind of smell a little bit like desperation? Like, please subscribe. I really want you to subscribe.
Yes. And I wish it was an already subscribe button, because a few of them have really annoyed me that I know I do subscribe to some of their media and some of their information because I do want their updates. But then I go to their website and I still have to suffer through it. And I'm like, I'm already.
Even though you've already subscribed.
Well, especially the worst is because they're not using the proper tags. I'm clicking through the email I got to open to read more information on the blog post that I've updated. And it's asking me to subscribe again. I'm like, did you not read the
UTM
click?
You just sent me an email.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're not following the UTM click and going, remove shadow box.
Yeah.
That's easy to do in WordPress.
Well, and isn't that – that's always the hard part of when we think about marketing, you know, from a digital standpoint, is that there's so many steps that we have to take, right?
Yes.
It's, you know, using UTM tags and making sure that we do – but it's the little things that can really make a difference in how you perform in your digital. And so speaking of digital in social media, I'm going to move on to Facebook. So Facebook finally confirmed a new look and layout for their pages.
Yes.
Which is I don't understand why it took them so long to make this announcement, because, I mean, they were rolling these out like 6 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I managed several pages, and I'm like, okay, they're all looking different now. Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, you know, people lost their minds. They're like, what's happening? You know, do I have to change the cover photo sizes? I don't understand why Facebook made this change, because it primarily affects desktop.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at it, and I'm sure you probably look at analytics on a regular basis, and when you look at the traffic that comes from Facebook, it's primarily from mobile devices.
Yes.
So I'm not quite understanding why they made this switch on pages.
I think it's because it's a little bit cleaner of a layout. It seems less cluttered because people had started adding some of the buttons across the top, and it kind of created a cluttered feel, I thought, of I know where things are, but I can imagine. I try to sometimes step back and think of the general users who come in here and how are they viewing my page. And I think it was too many cluttered buttons. Now having them all on the side like that with the little highlights, that I think it has a nicer look, but – like you said, why now? And everything is really mobile. Hard to say.
Kate, you have any thoughts on that?
No.
We're just going to move on from Kate. Thanks.
A lot of it's hate, so I'm just going to keep that to myself.
Right. If I have nothing nice to say, then I'm going to say nothing at all. That's perfect. What do you use Twitter?
Very little.
Yeah. Were you, I mean, like early on when Twitter came out, is it a platform that you've ever used?
A while ago, I had a different account that I closed, and I was using it just to communicate with a few people and mostly test it out and see if I could be annoying like everybody else on Twitter and complain about things.
Sure.
I still rant on Twitter. Oddly enough, though, something I started doing more recently was linking my YouTube to my Twitter to auto-tweet my videos.
Huh.
That does two things. One, archive.org, if you tweet any link to any YouTube, will automatically add it to their archive. The other thing it will do is I've realized I've gotten more notice on my page from that. One of the ones we just finished a project with Detroit FC, the soccer team, and when I posted –
happened to see that on your Facebook page.
Yeah, we put that on there, and when we did that, it got a ton of retweets by all the people related to the team, so I thought that was kind of neat.
That's really cool. So the reason why I brought Twitter up is that they just introduced promoted stickers.
which is interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone is, you know, they like to copy one another. So, you know, Snapchat has their thing going on. And then now, you know, Instagram has stories. Now Twitter has something similar to stories. Now they have stickers. And what they rolled out were promoted stickers. And what they're saying is that it's a huge opportunity for brands to drive brand affinity and raise awareness of their message at scale, which is really, you know, as a brand, you can create your own sticker and then encourage people to use it when they're taking an image. But I don't really see how that's.
Yeah, I mean, I think it works really good for your large brands, Coca-Cola, you know, any of your food products, national brands that are selling product real easy between like Taco Bell and some of them. I love some of the Taco Bell tweets and things like that.
Oh, yeah, they're phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, they figured out how to use it. And I think for those type of places, it works great. I've never really found an audience for what I do. And especially because I'm so localized on a lot of what we do for IT services. So it doesn't really – it's never been a really big fit for me.
Yeah, though that makes sense. I mean, and when we look at some of the brands that do well on Twitter, I mean, it's nonprofits. It's, you know, people that are looking for information or, like you said, to rant about something that went wrong. And speaking of rants, you know, let's talk about the Good Morning America. Amy Robach ended up apologizing for she used the term colored people during a segment on television. And she was talking about the Zendaya, who was going to be in the new upcoming Spider-Man. And so, of course, Twitter lost their mind, which is the thing that seems to happen, right? When someone makes a mistake, it always seems to be Twitter that is the one that calls people out. The fastest, which is always – it's an interesting platform for that. But, you know, she apologized for the racial slur because everyone was losing their mind. But my question is, you know, is it really – did people just – are they too sensitive? And did – you know, are people just looking for a reason to attack no matter what?
Definitely are. And it's those people that make the most noise. I mean, if you took the general population, they're not on Twitter. The overall public, the 320 million people that live in America are not the most tweeting. You take those people that spend all day, they have a job that has tons of dead time, whatever it is, and they're sitting on Twitter and like, I could get something going. I could be popular if I'm offended by this. And it's funny, I've seen this paralleled on Facebook. So there's a couple of private groups that I belong to. One of them is called Downriver and Friends, which covers the whole Downriver community.
Right.
And they caught some people on there completely fabricating stories just for the attention of it and people running with it and getting like
fake stories just for the sake of fake stories.
Basically people.
Oh, they were trolling people.
Yeah.
Nice.
What they were doing is they just kind of wanted the attention. And it was one of those, oh, I had a bad time at this restaurant type things. And they would just go off on it. And like, you know, 200 comments would be flying on there. And I think some of the same thing goes on Twitter because it's the excitement of getting a bunch of people excited.
Sure.
So I think that's where some of that comes from. They're just like, I'm offended by this when the majority of the population is going, eh.
Right. Yeah. It's just to create drama for the sake of drama. I mean, so what she said was that she meant to say people of color, but you know, it's
transposed words.
You know, it's just like, you know, when someone ends up, I mean, if we think about Anthony Weiner, who thought he was sending a DM, but ended up sending a tweet of his junk. And he's like, I was hacked. And it's like, but it's, I mean, you know, so do you own it or do you, is it easier to just say, you know what, I meant to say this and then just kind of move on from there? Yeah. So, but the reason why I thought that was really interesting is because, of course, the NAACP, I mean, they go by NAACP, but I mean, it still means the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
They haven't changed their name.
They haven't changed their name, but yet. So we're going to move on. I don't want to put you in an awkward position, but you know,
I think it's funny because Benedict Cumberbatch, I always have a hard time saying his name.
Right.
He had said that too. I don't know if you remember, maybe about 6 months ago, he had said colored people and they were crucifying him. But he right away is like, but that's the name of the organization. And he was actually making a reference to it. And he's like, well, I don't understand what you guys are. He's from England. He's like, that's, I thought that's in America what you said. He's he's kind of playing the dumb role, but he's like, that is the name of the organization, right?
Right. I mean, they haven't changed their name.
Yeah.
So that I find that all fascinating.
Yeah. At least sometimes people just like to get excited about things.
Yeah. But, you know, between America and England, it's always been sort of a middle distance relationship. So
for sure.
Yeah. There's a, I got it right, I think. 10 bits of PR jargon you shouldn't use in public, which I thought was a fascinating article because, you know, as doing social media for a living, we still kind of are stuck in that PR sort of world.
Oh, come on. You're a social media guru, right?
Oh, God. See, there's another guru sighting this week. It seems like every week there's a guru sighting. Number one was elevator speech. Or essentially an elevator pitch, yeah. Right? And I hear that often. I mean, just in the entrepreneur world, mm-hmm. you hear people talking about elevator pitches and, you know, do you have one, Tom? What is your elevator pitch?
We focus on technology so you can focus on your business. We do because I've been through so many of those networking groups and BNI and everyone you can think of because I've been in business for so many years.
Right.
So I do, but I my first introduction to people is always, what fun and interesting things do you do? I never even bring up myself.
Yeah.
You lead with that and start a conversation. Don't just throw it out there.
That's always the hard part about networking, isn't it? Right. You go into a networking event and someone hands you a card and they're like, here's what I do. Is there anything I can do for you? Are you a good fit for me? And if you're not, then I don't want to waste my time talking to you.
Right. I don't hand out cards unless if they're requested. One of these people, they got them in their hand, like one in each hand. They're double fisting it, man. They're throwing them everywhere. And I'm like, no. And just
that's not how it works.
They're trapping me with their pitch. And I'm like, I never pitch when I go. And I've learned that works way better. I mean, I won't lie. 13 years ago when I started my company, I thought that was all I was supposed to do.
That's how you thought, right, because there's no training manual.
I'm smarter now.
You're right. Yeah. You do get smarter the longer that you're in business.
Yeah.
It made me think about that commercial. I can't remember if this is a Geico commercial or not, where it's an older woman, kind of like a grandmother, and she has all the pictures on the wall, and like she's like, I unfriend you, and her girlfriend's like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of it works. Yeah, I mean, networking is a whole nother story for sure.
For sure.
So the other, let's take a look at some of the other ones. Story with legs. Right, but a story. So most news stories are told once in their history, but a story with legs keeps running. Is you know they just keep running, and I've heard that more than once in a meeting. Let's see, fluff piece, managing expectations. Do you manage expectations with your clients well?
Oh yeah, manage expectations.
It's one of those things, right? What does that even mean? I mean, I know what it means.
Don't
but,
want
right,
them over enthusiastic right. about the things.
Under promise and over deliver.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Above the fold, or number six is in the weeds, or a 30,000 foot view.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So these are some of my favorites. Block and tackle. Think outside of the box.
Oh God. Yes.
low hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Is Synergistic Solutions on there still, or that would finally been archived?
No, that has been archived.
Oh, right.
We are now stuck
those
with...
Those words are too big for people now.
Yeah,
they are.
Smaller words.
That's right. Idiocracy. No.
We're working there.
We're getting close. The last one is disrupt.
Oh, you got to be disruptive.
Yeah, you have to disrupt an industry because that's, you know, how you make the dollars.
You unlock
today.
Value by disrupting the industry.
Right. It's totally about disruption. I mean, I just find it interesting that, you know, you sit in meetings and you hear that all day long.
So I worked in corporate before starting my business. And part of the reason I started my business because I couldn't stand working in corporate anymore. And we used to play buzzword bingo. That was always our favorite. And everyone's like, you got synergy? I got synergy.
Right.
He said, move my cheese. Everyone read move my cheese.
Yes.
Right. You know, it was like every little – and then the corporate junkets that went with it, everything. It was just like, oh
yeah. There's nothing like playing buzzword bingo in a meeting, especially those long two-hour meetings where, I mean, they're just full of buzzwords.
We were a tier one Ford supplier. We love buzzwords, and we love meetings at Ford's where we just had a buzzword mashup.
Nice. That's awesome. I have some more news, social media news, that we're going to go through real quick. Instagram added an event channel on their Explore tab, which is really cool. So what it does is it allows you to, so let's say there's a live event, say Drake's in town, like he was last week here in Detroit. And then you can go into this tab and you can explore all of the pictures or videos that were tied to that event.
Well, that's cool.
So that people can go and explore like they've never been to Peru. So they can see all of the things and the pictures and the events that are happening around that. So just, it's a, just another way to experience the world And it's just kind of a fascinating time. I don't know how old you are. I'm 43.
40, so.
Right. So, I mean, I grew up with, you know, with a Nintendo and an Atari 2600.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all of those things. And, you know, I remember dial-up. And my first phone was like the size of a brick. So it's cell phone, I should say, not home phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just amazing to see how far technology has come and the things that we can do.
That's why I love working in industry. It's just always something more. And it is amazing because, you know, I started my personal blog that I'm working on, but I went to the beginning of like my 8-bit days with the Commodore, and you're like, you can do so much more.
Right.
You know, I was hacking on BBSs in the 1990s, so I've been doing this, you know, working in tech for such a long time. So it's major changes.
Yeah. I love it. So Google did this thing. Are you an Android user?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yep. I went from an iPhone to an Android for a bit, and I can appreciate Android and the whole idea that you can customize it. But I went back to an iPhone because the rest of my family uses iPhones. Yeah. And the thing that I loved was being able to FaceTime my parents because, you know, they live a couple hours away. Google launched this Google Duo video calling, right? Yeah. Any thoughts about that?
So it's pretty neat. And I love when, you know, questions I answer right away when me and my friends are having a discussion about, like, what was it better than Skype? I'm like, because it's not Microsoft. I mean, it's right. Google. But there's not really any major advantage other than the simple sign up with a phone number. I don't like the name because if you search, there's a company in Ann Arbor called Duo Security.
Oh,
and so there's this constant. They keep coming up together now. And I'm like, I wonder if Duo and Ann Arbor is really upset. I have a few friends that work there. I almost mentioned, like, guys upset about this at all? They kind of promote name. But it's a nice that they're getting back into it. And, of course, a lot of people are still angry because Google's deprecating lots of the other stuff, like some of the live things.
Right.
So it's a big mashup. But, you know, dominance is in the video conferencing market and the chat market. And Facebook is just completely owning that because even my employees who don't have Facebook, they have Facebook only so they can use the chat because we use it at work.
Right.
And they have to chat with some of their friends on it. They like have, they don't have any Facebook profile or a single post. They
but
just
they're using all the
messenger
the periphery.
Features.
Yeah. Sort of apps that Facebook has acquired or created.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, there was much to do about that when Facebook started breaking apart and creating these standalone apps. But, you know, now that, you know, fast forward, it was a brilliant plan, right? Because now you have people who don't have to have a Facebook profile but are using it, using all of their other...
Yeah, I even at work, what I leave open in a pinned tab is not Facebook.com, but Messenger.com, because Facebook's a time suck and a distraction sometimes.
Yes.
You know, I try to do my best to message back with everybody, and I have lots of things turned off, so I get fewer notices. But just leaving Messenger open, because the group chat feature just works so well, and it's, like you say, cross-platform, so I don't have to rely on Android, I don't have to rely on there, or even on a Wikipedia. I know Slack is supposed to replace that, but that then takes me to yet another place if we
– It's another Slack platform, channel. Right.
Yeah. Facebook's just simple. One platform, universal messaging. And really smooth.
That's interesting. So you don't, I mean, you guys looked at Slack.
Yeah.
But you don't use it. You've decided to use Facebook Messenger instead for communication.
Yeah.
And so you guys have, group channels and then individual conversations as well.
One-on-one. It just works really, really well for that because it's so smooth across all the devices, the phones. In my few employees that are on Facebook, it's easy. And of course, I have a ton of messages and clients, even CEOs of companies who are using Facebook. And that's how they communicate with me. I literally get trouble tickets and things like that. So,
really?
Yeah, that's a huge way. Like, hey, Tom, I got a printer. We're going to set up at the new office. Can you be on such and such date? And I'll then copy that message and paste it to my employee group chat. One of you guys needs to be here on this date and they can just sort out.
That's amazing.
It works so well. And I tried Slack and I said, you know, it's neat.
It's one more place that I have to go.
One more set of notifications. One more set of notifications.
I already have this.
I have this. It works.
And it doesn't cost me anything.
No. The integration is in it. It works so smooth from phone to that. You know, just like having to send pictures when my guys are on, say, hey, Tom, look at this. They just, you know, hit the video button. Boom, boom, boom. It seamlessly goes right in there to the video feed.
That's amazing. I'd never even consider that.
It works. It's just one of those things. I'm not the only company using it. Yeah. Some of my other clients I've run into are doing the same things because it's just so – it's ubiquitously integrated into them because they just can leave one thing open.
Right. Brilliant. Do you use Reddit?
Oh, I live on Reddit.
Do you?
Probably too much.
So yeah.
Got a lot of karma.
There's a Reddit's one of those things where it's just so – you discover some really cool things on the internet. Using Reddit. So they announced an official AMA app. Would you like to explain what AMA means to those that are not Reddit users?
Ask me anything.
Yeah.
And Reddit's pretty amazing. I mean, I think that they've interviewed the president. They have just really – it's an amazing amount of famous people have been on there. And some of their most popular ones besides Obama's interview on there was I guess I could say Double Dick Dude. He's one of the second most popular ones on there. If you've read his AMA, it is absolutely hysterical. So it's just really cool because sometimes the mundane people who just go, I have this weird job you probably never heard of. There's a guy that does sewers, and his interview was great, or the vacuum cleaner guy. So it's all these basically interviews with people, and they're scheduled in a time between – they can be famous people or they can be kind of haphazard where someone goes, I just want to talk about owning a vacuum cleaner shop, and that turned into be an amazing – the guy's YouTube channel is hysterical if you haven't followed the vacuum guy.
All right. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. I always found the AMA is pretty fascinating in the way that – I mean people just really just gravitate. They ask – I mean you're going to get some crazy questions.
Yeah.
But you get people that are really involved in asking serious – questions and really interested in what they have to say.
And Kevin Smith did such a great AMA. You know, everyone likes Kevin Smith. He's a wordy kind of guy. And when he got on there and replied to everybody, I mean, he spent like hours on there replying to everyone's questions. And you can ask personal questions with some of these people. And so it becomes very – it's a direct connection between you and the fans. And it's a long-form archived answer system, which is really nice because versus Twitter, when they kind of tweet back to celebrities, it's kind of haphazard. It's not as organized.
Yeah, it's definitely not as organized.
Yeah. And you can go back and look at an AMA and you can reread the history. And people ask top questions. And, of course, the best questions get upvoted to the top based on our voting system. And then so is the best answers.
Yeah. It reminds me of old school forums.
Yes.
Right? And forums are still alive and well. I mean, you know, people are still using forums today.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when we talk to companies about, you know, are you actively seeking out forums where people are talking about your product, trying to identify, you know, where those conversations are, they're like, no, I never thought to check forums anymore.
Yeah, people just kind of skip over that. I mean, the forums, Reddit's nice because it's one giant forum.
Oh, yeah.
And in reading news articles, for example, on Reddit, it's the only place where I read the comments first because there is no good actual – on any of the sites, there's no good news articles. Don't read the comments on CNN.
Never read the comments.
It's a waste of your time.
Or the Freep, yeah.
Yeah, or the Freep, or any, especially the local papers.
Yeah, it's so depressing.
They're very bad, very – But if you go on Reddit, often the comments are insightful and witty, funny, or offer more in depth whether or not the article was really valid, or sometimes, you know, they do the math and really calculate out this is what's wrong with this article, this is what's right with the article, which makes it very helpful to me because then I can go in the article with better knowledge than I would have just read it. So
nice. Yes. Way to go. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and spend some time talking with Tom about his business and what he does and how he helps clients.
And the winner.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Hi, this is Billy Strotter. Welcome back to episode 7 of The Scoop. I'm joined by Tom Lawrence, owner of Lawrence Technology Services and PC Pickup. And so, Tom, tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
We do a lot of things, but specifically our focus is small businesses. So I actually came out of the corporate world and decided I'm going to start a company. And that was an interesting adventure in 2003 because I thought, hey, I got computer skills. It turns out I needed to learn a lot of marketing skills.
Wait, so if you build it, they don't come?
If you know how to do it, they won't show up and ask you to do it. But I thought they'd just pay me money. But so our focus started in a small business market. I kind of like what Dave had mentioned. Dave Phillips is like, the small business market is woefully underserved, and he's so right about that. So many of the small businesses, we are not taking over from another IT company. We're taking over from their cousin or nephew who went back to college, who was like, he came in and set all this up and left. And
right.
He's back in school, and now we need help again. So that's been kind of our niche, is a lot of small companies. We have about 430 small businesses in a metro Detroit area that we're doing IT services for. And some of those are as little as 2-people, 3-person companies. Some of them are bigger, but we measure them in computers, not in actual people working there. For example, we have a couple large machining companies that are probably doing around $30, $40 million a year. They have 7 computers.
Yeah.
People forget we're manufacturing based here in Detroit.
Right.
So you have a lot of those weird little companies like that that make a high dollar, high value product with rows and rows of CNC machines, but only have a couple of workstations.
Right. Yeah. They don't have a ton.
So they don't – the larger IT companies a lot of times look over them, because if you're looking at a good salesman for a big IT company, they're going, hey, I need at least 50 workstations. I need a larger medical billing or doctor's office. So a lot of these guys kind of get left in the cold from these IT companies. And then they just kind of left to the scraps of, I'll call this guy who works out of his house, mm-hmm. a lot of unprofessional services. Sure. So we started really filling in that niche years ago. It's worked out really, really well for us.
How did you determine to focus primarily on small businesses?
Just knowing small business, I'm kind of a social person. So as I started talking to them, realizing more and more of these small companies, I joined the Chamber of Commerce. I'm like, wow, they just have horrible IT support, where some of them are just paying through the nose, so to speak, because the minimum service contracts were so high with these large IT companies. Oh, right. It just was like, they're like, this is killing us. We're not sure how we can sustain our business when we're spending $2,000 a month in IT for our three computers. I'm like, what are you?
What?
Yeah, they're. Some of these companies really nickel and dimed them, but I understand from a value standpoint, the sales rep had to make a certain amount of recurring sure. revenue, and that's really what, you know, they got oversold on a lot of things.
Which led to you finding
right. that little niche in yeah. there. And then what happened is we ramped up our services since 2003 to started offering everything, because I started getting so aggravated with other people in the market. For example, we didn't offer cabling and infrastructure at first, but I used to coordinate those projects, and I got really aggravated with all the bad cabling companies, so I hired a crew for that. Then same with web development. Hired a crew for that because I said the web development is so bad. Dealing with a web developer who just disappears off the planet uh-huh. for a while, you know, which is a lot of small businesses. They can't contract one of the larger firms, so they find somebody that, you know, I'm going to school for design, so right. my side project is doing your website. And they would just become unresponsive and do bad things like register it to their name. And then we actually have a local chamber of commerce that lost their domain because they let some guy do it, and he moved to Florida, and he won't respond. And he's got the domain paid up for the next 5 years. So we're stuck. We can't get a hold of him.
Can't do anything with it?
Yeah. We can't do it. It's locked. It only says what it says, and we just registered another name for him.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So we started seeing that. So we got into the web development side, and then we started getting a little bit more into the phone systems. And now we've become all-inclusive. So we're kind of a one-stop shop for a small business, so we can just take care of everything, which makes it easy on them because it's one phone call. You call us, and if we're doing all the services for them, if their email quits working, I don't have to point at the web developer. I don't have to point at the servers. It's one person. We're handling all
of it. You're handling all of it. Let's say you're a small business owner, mm-hmm. and you're like, I don't know what I need. I mean, I have computers and I'm doing things. How does one know that they need your services?
A lot of times what I tell them is, if you're wearing too many hats, you're a small business owner, but you're also the guy trying to figure out, do I need an antivirus? Did I load this patch? Is that Java update something I should say yes to? Yeah. What we do is we offer a lot of small businesses like complete services, managed service, but not like a lot of the big companies do. We call it a hybrid service. What that means is we're offering managed services for really low price because we're just taking care of with software, complete patch automation, antivirus licensing. We give that inclusively for them for a really low price. And we're able to do that because I bought and we developed in-house a lot of really cool software, because if I were to throw people at it like a lot of these businesses do, it's expensive. People cost a lot of money, especially very skilled people. If we develop once, I invest a lot of time in programming effort up front, and the return has been what we've developed is this really nice automated system. We have a client we met with today. I couldn't believe it. The other IT guy just was picking up backup drives back and forth in their office, and then that was their premium service they charged him for. And they're like, this just seems ridiculous in the world of online things. And they said, oh, the company told them cloud was scary. So they actually send a guy there, but they're charging them a fortune to do their backups. So I'm like, how scared are you of the cloud? So we come in there and just offered a backup service and cut their backup by like 1% of what they were paying to this other IT company.
Wow.
I didn't realize people were offering that, like courier service. They had a guy that was to drive in and pick up their USB drives, unplug and plug in new USB drives, and drive to the next location. There's still companies doing that.
Okay.
And they sold them to it as a high dollar service. And I'm like, why not do it simpler and just right. sign up for a backup and set up encryption so it's safe? And they're like, you can do that? They told us it couldn't be.
The world has changed.
The world has changed.
I notice I'm a fan of what you do. I mean, we're connected on Facebook, so I see a lot of the stuff that you do personally. But I mean, even on your business Facebook page, you use a lot of video.
Yes.
And so you have your YouTube channel. Do you post that on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn? I mean, where do you post your videos?
My YouTube videos go, of course, when I do one video, one's going to go to YouTube, one's going to a duplicate copy of the YouTube one because it's going to be embedded because LinkedIn hasn't gotten around to uploading video
right.
any day now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I embed my YouTube video into my LinkedIn post. And then the next step is to – I usually tweet the video as well. But then with the Facebook, because Facebook does favors their own videos way higher than they would a link to a YouTube, I actually re-upload that same video right to Facebook. Right. Now, it depends on the video. It depends on the audience. So my firewall videos, which are me talking for an hour about really esoteric Linux firewall details, that's a Facebook that is a YouTube
Did my
only.
Eyes just glaze over?
Yeah, exactly. Where I totally geek out on something and get really detailed. Like I was doing router load balance testing and all kinds of fun stuff. For me, at least, fun. You know,
right.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
But that is going to be a YouTube exclusive video versus if it's something that's going to connect. Like one of the videos that kind of went viral was as soon as Pokemon Go came out, you know, my kids wanted to play. I'll admit I played a little bit like Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I started playing it. The kids are playing it. So I went to the park with them. We made a video about it. And that video instantly got thousands of views on Facebook. And it got shared a bunch of times. I think it was, you know, 50 or 60 shares.
That's all right, Kate. You all right?
I swallowed rock. And it burns.
Well.
I'm crying. It's fine.
Welcome to the podcast of Kate coughing.
Yes.
One time.
That's all right. One time. Yeah. So that,
you know, it focuses on the audience, so that it got posted to several groups. And a lot of people, because I did it, it's essentially a video, it says, what is it? Because a lot of people are going, I don't know. I just see kids in the park all of a sudden that were never in the park before.
Right.
But they're all staring at their phone.
Where did kids come from?
Yeah, they're bumping.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. They're standing in front of my place. Why are they here?
Right. Yeah. Speaking of Pokemon, don't you find it interesting that, I mean, there were some business owners that were really savvy that were like, you know what? I can make money off of this, and I'm going to figure out how to bring people into my store. And there were others that were like, get out of my store.
Yeah.
And like, what? Bro.
Yeah. Some of them are – you got to remember, though, who's out there? You got a bunch of kids in their 20s that probably don't have any money, and they're not – the coffee shops love them because they will buy coffee.
Right.
The high-dollar places are going out of my store because you are – yeah, quit hanging out at my car dealership.
And that's a good point. It's dependent on what type of business it is. Yeah, for sure.
I did have one of the car dealers call me because we have some of them as clients, and they're just like, how do we get them to go away?
Yeah.
Apparently, we're some pokey thing.
Yeah. Oh, we're a pokey gym.
Yeah, one of them's like, can I buy a cell phone jammer, and how legal is it? Because I want the kids out of the parking lot.
That's funny. So talk to me about your YouTube channel. So I see that you have a, you know, so you have a channel trailer in like 2016. So do you update that every year? How often do you update your trailer?
Oh, I try to update it just to keep it a little bit fresh. And as I come up with new ideas of how I want to grow the channel and kind of convince people my call to action of why they should be here.
Mm-hmm.
So as I've kind of evolved my channel, I'm starting to do it a little bit more blog, a little bit more business. And I'm still going to keep doing the other videos I do about firewalls and things like that because those are really popular. But I'm kind of evolving it into a business channel. People, I didn't realize how many people like to see some of the behind the scenes and have me talk about what we actually do. And they were kind of surprised. Like I reviewed a corporate tool that there's zero reviews for. And I was always like, this is one of the things that made me mad. So we have to buy some enterprise software. We needed for remote support. The only source for information was the sales rep. And me trying to reach out to other IT companies who are locked doors of how anything happens behind the scenes. And I said, this is stupid. So I went and did a whole review video, and I got messages from all these IT companies. Now, the video only has, I don't know, 500 or 600 views. It doesn't take many views. IT companies from around the U.S. and two in the U.K. contacted me right away, like immediately messaged me going, I didn't even know the software could do that because they are using the software, and I customized it because it has an extensible API where I can add features to it.
Yeah.
So we added all these features. So then it started an immediate side business for me of like, you're willing to talk about what you do? You're actually willing to share the secret of how you run your business? I'm like, I don't think it's a secret. Right. I just didn't know you guys want to know.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my next step is really pushing that out there and showing people how we onboard clients, how we do this. And I've helped a couple of our IT companies with their process like this.
Let me ask you a question about that. I've always had we recently had a circumstance where someone came to me and they're like, well, I'm having this meeting with this company and I know that you've met with them. And what do you want me to do? And I'm like, if you get it, great. Because there's enough business for all of us.
Yes.
I can't handle all of the business that's available in the world. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's great that you're willing to share with other companies how you do things.
Yeah, and we try to be very, very transparent. We don't try to hide anything, because one of the things we're very public-facing with our clients is we want to let them know how we're doing things internally. We don't hide it. We don't believe in security through obscurity. Where I'm kind of a security nut when it comes to a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I found out a lot of IT companies are not. They're actually very, very bad. There's several of them we found out through some debriefings from people we hired that even though the person was let go from the IT company – that the company still didn't change their practice. This is how they keep all their passwords. It's the company's owner's last name plus the first four digits of their address. Every password for every server.
No.
And even though the guy left, he's like, oh, yeah, I talked to my friends here. He goes, they changed nothing after I left. That's just – that's like their strategy so everyone can remember what the server passwords are for whatever company you're logging into. I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's – so we kind of showed how we do it and – we have really, you know, process-oriented secure practices. So now we're being more public about how we're doing it, encouraging – I don't know if I'm trying to raise the bar, just encouraging other IT companies. Like, this is how we do it.
Right.
It's just not
Don't be stupid.
Do. Don't be
Change
stupid.
Change your passwords.
Change your passwords. You know, I look at us as a high-value target. If you hacked us, you would then have access to 430 companies, you know.
This is true.
Logins.
Yeah.
I'm a great target for that. Yeah. Not that I'm encouraging anyone.
No, no encouragement going on right here.
Yeah.
Why don't we change the subject to something else
yes.
other than encourage people to hack you? the video that you've been using, I mean, you do a lot of tutorials.
Yes.
For those that are that are business owners that are trying to figure out how do I generate more revenue, how do I generate leads, has it actually translated into business for you?
Yes, quite a bit of business. So there's two ways I monetize this. One of them, my firewall videos gets me contracts because firewalls can be set up remotely. So I've had other IT companies contact me and then pay me, the IT directors or whoever contracts me to set things up for them. We've set things up all over the U.S. with these firewalls. We've set up custom rules for we were actually using a presentation, and I wish I could remember the name of the country. It's right next to Fiji. But I thought it was really cool because it was like really hard to read the guy's name, and his English was really bad. But it was still fun to communicate back and forth with them and help them put a presentation together for their finance ministry to change over how their systems work. So they've seen some of the videos on that. The way it helps me a lot, though, is having a lot of videos that I can just fire off that are tied to blog posts. So a lot of times businesses go, hey, I just need to know how to use this password system. I've got a review video on it. I keep it up to date. I've actually – the newspaper picked up on one of them. I thought it was kind of cool. A local newspaper featured me in it with my video and my stuff on how to use password security system,
nice.
How to automate all that. So firing that off to business owners is a free thing is really good. And so I do a lot of public speaking, and I also then send people to my website like, hey, here's the things I talked about in the talk, and here's all the blog posts so you can actually read in detail that we don't have to take a bunch of notes. So that helps a lot, and it helps convert customers because then they can use my website as a reference. One of them led to a local company switching over to us for IT because they were trying to figure out how to do something. Their IT current IT company said, I don't know how to do that. So they just Googled it and because they said to go on YouTube.
Right.
When they seen on YouTube and they seen my name, they're like, I think that guy's in the Chamber of Commerce. And they clicked through to my website and like, he is. And we took over IT from the other company because
– they didn't know how to
– Yeah. Well, they said, well, this guy must do videos on it and he has better answers than the other IT company. Let's see. You know, let's sit and meet him face to face.
And how long does it take you to create these videos?
When I start from start to finish, I can manage it in a couple hours. It's dedicating that couple hours.
But right.
What I do is sometimes I'll just lock my office door and tell my employees I'm not here.
Right.
They'll just find reasons to come talk to me.
Good luck.
Good luck. Or I wait till they leave and lock the doors at 7 and I just stay there till midnight or 1 a.m. at my office and I just hammer out video after video and then I schedule the releases of all of them.
So what you're saying is that if you put in the time – you can use free tools like social media to generate revenue.
Oh, yeah.
But it just takes time.
It takes a lot of your personal time. But as you keep putting the time in to produce these videos, I mean, when I look at my, you know, I go back to the fire ones because somebody, one of them has like 100,000 views. That's someone listening to me talk for an hour and 15 minutes. 100,000 people listen to me talk for that
long. For an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
About something that esoteric.
That's how I feel about the podcast. I'm just teasing.
But. You know,
so it's like stories with legs.
Yes. It's like stories with legs.
it's a gift that keeps on giving, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, we've done a really poor job of using the Urban Dictionary word of the day, but it's not really the greatest.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? It's Kate's in deep thought. She's just like, you know
what?
You're
not really
using
the greatest at
it
all.
It was not. But that's what Urban Dictionary gave me today.
You need to do a better job.
Well, better than opening up Urban Dictionary and they're saying the word of the day is?
They need better word of the day. I blame them.
Right.
You should look through and find your own word of the day.
Maybe Mondays are not good for Urban Dictionary word.
You should just check on it every day and pick the best one and do your favorite for the week.
Like the one Bob suggested would have been way better.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have integrated it. But,
right. I feel like that one was better too.
I'm pretty
sure. And we all knew it. We knew what it was, exactly what it meant. Didn't need an example. We knew.
Yeah, here we find ourselves. So where do we find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, you can find me at lawrencesystems.com. You can Google my name, Thomas Lawrence. And other than the famous old painter that's dead, I'm the next Thomas Lawrence. The other Thomas Lawrence. There's not good news. There's not too many of me out there. So I am on Twitter at Tom Lawrence Tech. I do get, you know, some people DM me on Twitter and things like that. That's more why I keep my Twitter. And it's under my name. So when you Google it, comes up.
Anything, any closing things you'd like to say before we go?
Oh, no, just check out my blog. And I always love feedback. I love when people start messaging me. So I get that a lot on YouTube. I've been getting more and more people messaging me. Hey, can you do a video about this? And so I respond with, here's a video like this.
Right.
That's been a lot of fun. So that encouragement for doing things always gets me excited because I'm always like, what do I do next? I have like too many things in there. What do they call that? Predatory confusion where you just have too many things to do and you can't grab onto one of them because there's too many flying by you.
Well, you know, you just have to think outside of the box.
Yeah, think outside of the box.
Right. I think I've gotten at least 4 of the 10 awful words from the PR list in there, which seems like a lot more fun than the Urban Dictionary word of the day.
Probably.
Just all right, there you go. I just wanted you to get that in.
Corporate buzzword bingo. That's we should have that and make a little checklist of how many times we inserted them.
And then I think there's a bell around here unless somebody stole our bell.
Someone stole
it.
Someone did. There's no bell. And you know,
shocker.
So one of the things that's really cool about podcasts is like you have someone that runs the board.
Yeah.
And then usually like there are drops that you can play.
Yes.
That are really clever and witty. But you know, so there we go. Thank you, everyone, for listening in to Episode 7. We'll be back next week. I'm Billy Strotter. Tom Lawrence, thank you very much for being here. And Kate, goodbye.
This is a previously recorded episode.